What sorts of threats does this pandemic pose to the church? That and more on this episode of Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, the one-minute apologist. I'm your host, Tim Hall. Well, I will never forget, we were at Disney World with my family enjoying a week of vacation, kind of in a Disney bubble, when we started to hear murmurings about Disney closing. We didn't quite understand what all was going on, but the last day that we were there, the day that we pulled out, was the last day that Disney World was open before it shut down for the pandemic. That is extremely significant time in our life, and it's been people all over the world have stories that are similar. Bobby, maybe you can tell us where you were when you realized that COVID was going to be a big deal, and add in, maybe explain why we're doing this in a slightly different format on video than we normally do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing, when I realized that this could become dangerous, we were up in Hollywood celebrating my daughter's 21st birthday, and our son was living in Hollywood as an actor. And while we were there, we had a bunch of conversation coming out, and I thought, man, this isn't going to be good. And we started talking about what this could look like. But as you know, when we first started talking about a shutdown, you're thinking, okay, we're going to shut things down for 3 weeks. And it just went on and on and on and on. Well, finally, you fast forward a year later, and I'm sitting in a chair, not only reflecting upon, COVID and kind of the beginnings of it, but I'm living through COVID right now. My wife, myself, my two kids, we are all in quarantine together, and we have it. And each of us have some kind of different symptoms, but we're looking forward to pulling through and getting through this difficult season that our world's in as a pandemic. And I know you too, Tim, got a positive test result. And then by golly, you got a negative test result, right? So you're trying to figure out what the heck the deal is, right?
Right, yeah. So, yeah, again, I've been in quarantine since I got a positive result. And, man, it's been crazy when watching TV and reading lots of books, been kind of catching up on some work because I'm isolating in my office. My family is bringing me meals, and we're trying to, you know, make sure that we wipe everything down as it goes in and out of the room. So, yeah, been a very different experience that a lot of people have shared in that experience over the last year, that what you and I are experiencing right now, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be so good. Seriously, just to get out of this season. I think it's been a tough time for not only our country, but our world, literally. I mean, you think about how it's impacted our economy, people's psyche, people's employment, community, relationships, the church. I mean, it's impacted everything. And that's why I'm so glad for us to be able to say, let's kind of think about what the church is going to look like going forward, and how has COVID changed the game, or maybe I should just say the way that church is going to function in the future.
Well, you're exactly right. We both know that the church is not going anywhere, but the church may have to look significantly different than it did before this pandemic started. And so we want to talk today about five threats, five things that need to be in consideration for lay leaders, for church leaders, for church staff, for pastors, kind of moving out of this season and moving into the next chapter of the life of the church. And one of those first things is just the raised depression and mental illness that's going on. There's some research from Barna that says 4 in 10 Christians report feeling some sort of anxiety or depression on a daily basis, and that's up from a 1 in 10 before the pandemic. So, Bobby, as a church leader yourself, as someone that's passionate about mental health, what are some things that we need to keep in mind as Christians and as leaders in the church about what is going to affect us mentally as Christians coming out of this?
Well, I think right now we just need to, you know, tell people out there you're not alone. I mean, look at those stats right there, from 10% to 40%. That's incredible. Who says circumstances can impact our psyche?
Yeah.
I mean, the circumstances of COVID is definitely doing that. And if I'm being vulnerable and transparent, COVID has been a very challenging time for me with my anxiety and my depression. My thoughts can get really dark if I don't turn them quickly over to the Lord. And you'd say, well, why is that? Well, I think that everybody's story is unique and it can look different, but we're isolated from one another as a culture. So much of the ministry that we are able to do has been shut down. Those of us who are public speakers, you've had events that have been canceled that you can't go out. It's tough. You have people who've lost loved ones due to COVID. The time that we're living in right now is an opportunity for us as church leaders to think about how can we better treat this issue of mental health when the doors fully open back up. And some places are meeting right now. They have opportunities to be able to address stuff. And so we've said many times before that the church makes everything a moral issue, the culture makes everything a mental health issue, and discernment knows the difference. There are some mental health struggles that are going on, and some people are just more prone to mental health issues than others. For example, your creative types, those who are right-brained, your musicians, your artists, your actors, it's those creative types that they've got their strong right brain focus, and it leads to a lot of emotional disturbance at times. Those who are more left brain, logical, analytical, it's hard for them. They think, well, just snap out of it. It's no big deal. They're more automatons in the way that they operate. I happen to be a blend of both, so I can feel all the haunting of the right brain. Fortunately, I can help analyze and logically think my way through this and put together something like a mental health crash course with my wife in order to help address these issues. And so one thing I would say is encouraging the church to, be celebrating stories of people who are open and willing to talk about their mental health struggles. I think that letting people know there's not going to be shame for talking about it, creating forums for people to communicate about their pain, considering going through our mental health crash course with small groups and going through the discussion questions can all help in dealing with some of the stigma and helping people to move toward a pathway of healing.
Yeah, and I would completely agree with that. I think one thing that I might add on to that would be just reach out to somebody. I mean, one of the simple things that any person can do is reach out to someone, whether or not you know they have mental health issues, whether or not you know they're struggling with depression and anxiety. Reach out to those people that are in your small group. Let somebody know that you're thinking about them. Send a text message. Schedule a video meeting. One thing that we've done a number of times throughout the last year has been gathered with family on Zoom to do a game night. There are several websites. I can't think of any off the top of my head but there's several websites where you can do games online. You can be in a Zoom meeting and you can have an online game where you're drawing something on your phone and that comes up on the computer and you're all kind of interacting, but you're doing it with the folks that are on the Zoom meeting. And it's brilliant. It is tons of fun. It doesn't replace sitting around a table playing a game for sure, but it definitely helps you laugh and understand and connect with people in just a different way than, you know, we've done in the past. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one here. The next threat is going to be that churches weren't necessarily ready for virtual church. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. We know that at Image, we've had a priority of that. We've done a few of those things. Maybe you can talk about what some things that churches need to keep in mind and what are some of the learnings over the past year that we need to keep going, going forward with this pandemic.
So the churches that do know how to do virtual church well, they were much more fortunate in the pandemic than those that aren't, because they were able to really communicate. And in COVID, having technological skill set, like at least having somebody on staff that can, you know, take care of the social media and keep everybody connected is crucial. And so just being aware of some things, like, for example, your Gen Zs, they're going to be on the platform called Instagram. Your Gen Xers and your baby boomers, right? They're going to be camped out on Facebook, and that's where they're going to be at. And so being aware of some of those platforms and making sure that your church is communicating through those platforms with the people can be crucial. I also think that, you know, doing Zoom things like you just mentioned is huge. For example, the churches that are equipped with, you know, the virtual technology, there's things like on Sunday morning, if we get shut down, let's say we get shut down again when COVID-20 comes, COVID-21, COVID-22, and I hope that's not the case, and I hope we'll figure out a better way of dealing with these viruses and just shutting our culture down. But nevertheless, the beautiful thing about technology is it still allows us to keep content out there. It helps us to have some connection. I think that's where even small groups are important. A church that it's all about the Sunday morning worship experience. Well, when you can't meet on Sunday morning, you're in trouble if you don't know how to deal with technology and if you don't have small groups as the engine of your church. But when small groups are the engine of your church and when you've got technology, there's so much that you can still do as a result of that medium. What are some things that you would say in the area of technology, Tim? I know this is much more of a passion area of yours than it is mine.
Right. Yeah. So that's exactly right. This is an area that I have kind of steeped myself in for a while. I actually enjoy, you know, kind of coaching pastors and church leaders through how to use their virtual ministries in a way that's going to be effective. This is definitely something that is not going away. Things like YouTube, things like Facebook, Instagram, all those things, they're going to be around for the foreseeable future. And churches jumping on board and being able to utilize them is going to be critical. This is a vast, open mission field that some people some people do want to engage virtually with your church before they want to step into the door for whatever reasons, whether it's pandemic related, whether it's just that they're just not quite sure how they're going to be received. And so using virtual as a way to be the front door of your church is going to be revolutionary. And I think a lot of churches need to be thinking in depth about how they can utilize that, whether that's doing some sort of extra content during the week that's on YouTube or Facebook, whether you're putting out daily content on your social media platforms to get people engaged and thinking, to call back to the experience from the weekend. All of those things are super vital. And then I would say the last and final thing before we move on to the next one is going to be having a plan, right? You've had time to think about it. Social media works best when you have a plan and then you implement that plan. So that's one of the things that I love to do with churches is to be able to help them develop a plan on what they need to be posting, when they need to be posting, and what sort of things they need to keep in mind as they do that. So I would say those are kind of some of the things that that go with that. And I think to that end, a lot of congregants are consuming media in those places already. So one of the things that you and I talked about is another threat is not having a worldview or apologetic type training. They're getting infused with some sort of worldview or teaching that isn't Christian, that doesn't have a Christian worldview. So talk a little bit about why that's important, and then maybe what are some things, some steps that a church can take to kind of infuse some of those things into their church so that they're not blindsided.
Okay, so yeah, so if you're just joining us in this show at this time, we're talking about how the church is going to look different in a post-COVID world, and we're addressing different issues, five of them. So far, we've talked about mental health crisis. It's no doubt there. It's went from 10% to 40% of people struggling with anxiety, depression. The church has to figure that out, and we're listing some of those ways. The church also has to do a better job as it relates to virtual church and understanding technology and the important role that it can play. And we talked about that. Now to this idea of worldview and philosophical apologetic training. This is going to be crucial. Many of the Gen Zs, they're going to go off to college, and if they don't have a Christian worldview, they're going to really struggle discerning their way through college. So it's important for the local church to be thinking about how to equip this next generation with a Christian worldview and how to equip the church with the Christian worldview at large. Well, what would that look like? It would look like this. I think that pastors need to be aware of the biggest issues of our time. What are some of the cultural apologetic issues of our time? Well, we're seeing what's taken place with the LGBTQ community. We're seeing that our culture does not want sex judged at all. And so the church comes along and says, hey, this is God's plan for sex. They're going to resist that. So we need to know how to talk around that with them without compromising. We're living in a culture with the Equality Act that's going on, where now you got guys and they can go have a sex change and they can go compete as women in sports. We've got a culture where we value whatever pronoun people want to use to describe themselves. We're living in a culture where we're saying that there's systemic racism that's rampant in our culture. And we need to go through race training in all of our organizations in order to deal with it. Now, does that mean that there's not some systemic racism? There could be some elements of it, but the approach that we're going on is rooted in Marxism. And if we're not aware of that, we're going to be confused. So I'm just listing some of the things, right? We're living in a cancel culture that if you don't go by their moral absolutes, right? Our culture has defined moral absolutes. Things like I'm listing right here, right? Value each other's gender preference, whatever that might be. And if you don't, you're going to be at risk of being canceled. Now, the problem is this could hurt us, because if we're talking about, hey, let's be online and let's be virtual as a church, well, you can lose your platform because you don't agree. And that's one of the dangers of something like the Equality Act. It can really threaten our freedom of speech. So I think what we have to do is be talking as staffs. Here's the issues that we're up against in our culture. And we need to start teaching and coaching our church on how to be aware of it, how to see it, how to not be bought into this hook, line, and sinker. We need to be asking questions like, what are the most important questions that kids need to be able to answer when they go off to college so that their faith is not threatened? And we need to be able to prepare them. So these are types of things that we can do to help equip, coach, and encourage the church and our emerging Gen Z generation.
Very aptly put, Bobby. Appreciate that so much. And I would just invite the listeners that we have so many resources on our YouTube channel for that. We even have an apologetics crash course. We have our mental health crash course, our apologetics crash course, and you can find that over at our website, oneminuteapologist.com. You can also find that in the description to this video for watching us on YouTube. And I will just take just a quick second to invite everybody to like this video, subscribe to our channel, click that little notification bell there if you're watching this on YouTube, so that you get notified whenever unapologetic episodes go live or any other content that we put out. So as Bobby just summed up, we've been kind of going through these threats to the church. Let's go to the fourth one here. The fourth threat is that there may be fewer people in the seats when we return to in-person gathering. Why is that a threat, and what are we going to then do about it?
And that's a good question. I mean, why is it a threat? It might be a blessing in disguise. And here's what I mean by this. I think that there was a time when it was kind of, dignified to go to a local church. It was respectable in the community. Well, it's no longer that way. You're going to pay a price for being a Christian. You're going to pay a price for going to the local church. And so those that aren't legitimate Christians, they may have gone to church all their life out of habit because their parents took them to church or what have you. But what's going to happen is a lot of these people have lost the habit and they're not coming back to church. But that's okay, because some of these people weren't really living for Jesus anyway. Now, we still want to reach these people.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there's a pruning that's going to take place. And what we all need to remember is the church isn't shrinking, the true church. Yeah, the church that we see with our buildings that are made up of people that aren't even real believers, that have just been hanging out in the church, they might go away. And then we can think about how we can reach out to them and do evangelism. But the truth of the matter is the real bride will stand up. It's not like a bunch of people are just losing their salvation and they're not going to be a part of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And so we can be confident that the true church is still the true church, that the true church is there. Amen. So we don't have to feel discouraged when you start thinking, oh man, the numbers are falling down. Well, we can look at it is think, well, maybe this is an opportunity for the church to be pruned, for us to really come together as the true church and to shine and to be that salt and light in the community, and then figure out how we're going to go gospelly, reach people gospelly. How about that word? How are we going to go gospelly reach people for Jesus?
Gospelly. That's a good one. I love that. Oh, boy. Man, we're making up new vocabulary here all the time. I think that what you just said there leads us right into our final point, and that's busy lives. Is that people had busy lives before, but one of the areas that was usually encompassed in their life was at least going to church. There was multiple things happening throughout the week at the church building, and now those things aren't happening, and so people have kind of filled in some of those gaps possibly, and will they ever come back to church? So how do we address busy lives moving forward post-pandemic?
So one of the things I think that's going to be healthy for us as a culture is we're going to be able to really reflect on our values. The church has made people busy. Schools have made people busy. Sports have made people busy. And when you're involved in school, sports, church, and in your work, it's just too much. And we need to figure out a way to simplify our life in general, so that we don't just die exhausted. We want to die fulfilled. We want to die with a mission purpose. We want to die having been intentional, but not unnecessarily exhausted. Studies in the past have shown that, even your most committed churchgoer will give you about 3 slots a week.
Right.
So you figure before the pandemic, your most committed churchgoer, they might show up at church on Sunday. They might lead a small group and go to small group. And then you might have them for one other moment, a men's study or a women's study or whatever that is. So we need to make those moments count. What if after COVID, what if it goes something like to 2.5 or to 2 slots a week that you're really going to get? Well, you want them in church, right? But then you want them in community. So we're going to have to really think through how we maximize doing church in a simplistic way. We don't want to overly complicate it. We don't want to have all these ministries competing for people's time. We should really take this time as a staff culture in the church to think about what are going to be our driving values? What's going to be our mission? What's going to be our vision? What are we truly expecting our people to give as it relates to their time, their treasure, and their talents? And let's communicate that to them. We don't want to be the church that just burns people out so much so that they don't have time for other things in life.
Right.
Like, it's okay to go on vacation. It's okay to play sports. But I think that we need to be more strategic. Like, churches and sports and work, we all have to work together to figure out what are we really asking of our people so that not one of these silos rules all the others, where the church is the one place where people just get completely burnt out, or work is the one place people get completely burnt out, or sports, people get completely burnt out. Like, how can we all, those who are in these different areas of leadership, start thinking about, wow, people only have 168 hours in a week, and we need to make sure that we think more thoughtfully about that. People have other things going on besides just the church or playing on our sport team or showing up for my class. Right. How can we be more thoughtful about people's lives and better stewards of their time?
Excellent points. Bobby, sum us up here in the last 30 seconds. How would you, one sentence, kind of end this episode for us?
Well, COVID's going to change our world, no doubt. Are we going to be ready for the change? I hope so.
Well, that is great. So pastors, church leaders, lay leaders, be adaptive, right? I would say that. And there is hope going forward. I would also end with that. So Bobby, thank you so much for your insight today. We appreciate it. And for you, the audience, that you've been listening to Unapologetic. We'll meet you next time.
You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1 Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at oneminuteapologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.